This is Dear Analyst, and I'm super excited today to be speaking with Victor Rodriguez. He is a cloud specialist at Microsoft, a little company in Washington you all might know about. And I'm really excited today to talk to him about various positions he's held in data, how he approaches selling data solutions to different companies, and just overall how he's managed his career in the data industry. So Victor, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Oh, it's an amazing opportunity. Again, thank you so much. I'll be really happy to share a little bit of my experience today.
Fantastic. So starting right off, can you tell the audience more about your background, who you are?
Yeah. So we can start, let's say, from way the back, years back. So my background is mainly as an IT consultant. So I think everyone, this is 30 years plus at this guy here on IT worked this before, like deploying servers, do installation of the operation systems and so on. So my background just start way ahead when I was 15 years old, work with such kind of thing. And then I progress doing certifications, work a little bit more, become more senior and so on. So most recently, it was 6 years ago, I start working a startup where the main product of the startup is deploy onboard device inside of vehicles to be able to collect telemetry. Was when I did start to execute, let's say, my career change. So to look at the data more closely. Of course, all my life was on top of data, right? Deploying servers and so on, SQL servers and everything. But at this point, I said, look, I need to take a closer look inside of the data because data is the new oil, right? So inside of this organization, I worked from 1 year, and then I allocate from Brazil to Ireland, where I start to work in a different organization, more data related, more data consultant, more data transformation, where I help, let's say, the public sector in Ireland to progress a little bit, to understand the relationship between data and how to use of this data on the top of the cloud solutions. To further on, I joined Microsoft 2 years ago, where I start my sales career. Okay, that's a little bit different of this all technical background for something that's more customer oriented, customer connections, talking, discussions, convincing road blockers and so on. But again, on top of data, right? Because my role at Microsoft today is basically a cloud specialist for data and AI, where we convince our customers to go to this digital transformation journey, right? We don't need to convince a lot of customers because digital transformation is something on top of every single organization on the planet today and across all kinds of industries. And what we notice is that data is still something that customers want to try a little bit more.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for telling us more about your background. And we'll definitely get more into advice and general topics around getting a career in data. But I wanted to dive a little deeper into the first startup that you worked at, where you decided to make the career change. Can you tell us more about what the startup does? And I understand it involves telemetry data and working in a B2B scenario. So can you talk more about that?
Exactly. So at this startup, the main product was to collecting telemetry data. And by the time it was just collecting telemetry data and getting the most basic KPIs, right? So basically getting data from this fleet management system from various type of vehicles like bus fleets, trucks, and so on. And by the time the guys was just getting the mainly collecting everything about the telemetry of the car. So acceleration, engine temperature, distance they are at distance, the position, the map, how long they stay, stop in the traffic, that kind of thing. And by the time they're just summarizing everything, you know, like getting the really basic KPIs. So, okay, this is the distance that you're doing. That's the city that you go the most. That's the average temperature that you're having inside of the cars and so on. So when I joined the startup, the mainly conversation was, okay, what will be the next step? We are just getting the data. providing all these insights to our customers, but what next, right? So mainly what I helped this startup was to define two things. The first, from the perspective of a data engineer, to be what would be the best platform to collect this vast amount of data that was ingested of millions and millions of information per day, okay, for the fleet. And then what would be the best solution to be able to analyze all this data, right? So that's one of the things that I start to get in touch of the data. And so, but we know, like when you have a small startup, you need to touch every single corner of the solution, right? So it's not just someone just focus on this one aspect, but in various aspects of the business. Then I start to analyze the data as well. One thing that I love the most is to getting this vast amount of data and see what kind of insights we can collect, what kind of information you can see here, what's the underlying truth that's behind of this data, all this data, right? And then I start to help them to produce the KPIs. What we noticed was that a couple of different opportunities, right? For example, we noticed that usually bus drivers, they usually press a lot the clutch, and this can be really compromise the engine of the bus. So, and by simulating a model where the bus drivers press way less the clutch, we saw that we can reduce a lot the maintenance of the bus. So that kind of thing that we start to stimulate and start to look at the data and say, look, this is the kind of collection of the data, this is the kind of insights that we can provide, and this is the kind of let's say cost reduction, when that's the really the value proposition of our solution. Bring not just the data to see the data, but as well providing insights and providing insights to provide the action. So one of the great things that you build on top of this was this amazing dashboard that provides everything, not from the perspective of the collection of the data, but as well the action that they need to do.
Very cool. That's so interesting that you found that just hitting the clutch would result in X number of savings per month or per year for buses. And I, as you were just trying to create this data strategy for this startup, like you were talking about, you were asked with what systems to use to collect the data, what systems to use to analyze the data. How did you ultimately figure out what systems to use? Because it sounds like you were relatively new to the data world, and I'm curious, like, how did you land on specific vendors and different architecture? How did that whole conversation play out?
Yeah, the one of the things that play out is specifically in a startup that we talk about Brazil, is that everything start the conversation with costs, right? So we need to get the most cost effective way to have this solution ready. And what we noticed by the time, even I'm working by Microsoft right now, what we noticed by the time that the solution and the step ahead in terms of the solution was to looking, for example, different cloud providers and test every single of those cloud providers, right? So we started the test, for example, with the Google Cloud, for example, as using the BigQuery as one of our data warehouse and the way that you analyze the data. And as well, leverage of all other services they have today to be able to collect all this data. Okay, it's incredible how much you can learn about a solution by put the solution in trial, right? And then pilot the solution and understand what to be the main difference, not just in terms of the technical perspective, but as well the cost-effective solution. And what we notice is that every single one of those was just as a strength. So what we noticed, for example, from the cost perspective, we noticed by the time that BigQuery was bringing a lot of cost effective for analysis of the data, but not so cost effective, for example, to collecting the data. Then we went through a solution using Microsoft. So by the first time, I'll just not just jump inside of the cloud world, but as already using a multi-cloud solution. Right, so one solution to getting the data, the second solution to just analyze the data and to output data, for example, using Tableau that we tested as well, using the Power BI as well. So this multi-cloud solution was something really great by the time because brought, let's say, the flexibility that we're looking for, not just in terms of the cost, but as well in terms of technology.
Got it. So it was the final architecture multi-cloud. You had one cloud for collecting data, one for analyzing, and was that kind of
exactly by the time of what we if we get a really deep technique on this, we use a solution from Microsoft like the IoT Hub that's possible to ingest billions of data, and as well getting this data, then output this data to a BigQuery, for example, as a final solution, as a data warehousing, and then analyzing all this data there, building all our KPIs on top of this data, and connecting the Power BI as a main solution for reporting. That's one of the things that I'd like to highlight here, is that Power BI and Tableau for me are the game changers in terms of democratize the data, right? Because I think data visualization tool is what is opening up the world for more data analysis. Of course, it's like way high level for some people, but it's something that really brings some insights for the business, right? Even 2 days ago, I just saw one of my friends on Instagram just post, the day of the work, and there was this big dashboard that said, "Hey man, you'd be building reports." Said, yes, I need to present something to my boss. And then this solution looks great because I can just import the data here and quickly I can build my charts and my projections and so on. I said, yes, that's about the data. That's everything. That's beauty right now about the new technologies.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And then I like the, you mentioned the cost savings, I guess, that would come with reducing the maintenance for buses. That was something you discovered during the analysis. Yeah. Were there any other key drivers of cost savings that you discovered from the analysis for other types of cars that you were monitoring?
Yeah. Yep. That's one that's really interesting. The Brazil is so hot, right? So in New York, you have this weather as well. You're in New York, right?
Yep, right.
so the temperature is so high during the summer. And right. One thing that we noticed, one of the analysis, that we have truck drivers, right? And every time they need to deliver something, they just stop, they put in the idle the truck, and they go to do the delivery. Okay, they get the boxes removed from the truck and do delivery. One thing that we notice is specifically in Brazil, of course, is that the truck drivers, they leave the truck, but they leave the engine running because of the AC. Okay. And it was a big data. So you leave the AC running, you leave the engine running, and everything is running, you compromise and you have more spending in terms of the, the fuel and so on. So one of the things that we notice is that usually the bus drivers do this, and they just go out of the truck, do the delivery and come back. But one thing that we notice, and that one's really funny, when they go to the lunchtime, they stop the truck and they leave the engine running for at least 1 hour to keep the truck cool,
So when they come back, it's still kind of cool.
It's still cool. And so what we saw is come on guys, this is not the best practice to totally understand about how hot the weather it is, but it's not not safe, and it's not a cost effective for the company and so on. And we saw that just by reducing this time with 1 hour, the truck driver just stopping, just turned completely off the truck, we're saving 8% in costs, for everything, for the entire fleet. So it's something really beautiful about the data, visualize this kind of thing. And because I remember the first time that we plot this, this line showing, for example, the behavior of the, just in terms of the engine running and all the telemetry of the truck. Mm-hmm. And we noticed this, but this moment that usually the truck drivers go for lunch, what is still running here? What's happening here? That was one of the moments that's the one reason they are going for lunch and leave the truck running. That's one of the things that change everything in terms of the business of the customer.
Right. And in terms of safety, I guess, would they keep the keys in the car too when it's running? That's also not very safe, I would think too.
No, it's not very safe at all. I can give an example. It's like something just park the truck in front of a restaurant or something like this, and they go out and I'm seeing the truck in there, but at least it's not still not safe, right?
Right.
But that's what's exactly the behavior.
Got it. Very interesting. Yeah, it's always interesting. I think because as analysts, you probably can see the data and you see there's some of these irregularities or outliers. But then when you line it up with the real world, that's when the real interesting kind of, this is what actually happens in the real world in terms of the data we're collecting. Exactly. So,
One thing that I always try to advise people that usually reach out to me and say, look, I'm just getting started with the data analyst world and I want to be better to analyze the data and so on. And say, you really need to learn first to get all this data, and look at all this data and plot in a way that you make sense in different ways and so on. And then you present this in a way, really a raw way to the business and say, what you're seeing here, what you can tell me a little bit more about this, what's working, what's not work, what you're seeing here. Even like yesterday, I was presenting some of my analysis about an application. And what we noticed, for example, was a peak of usage during by start by 9. So it's people start working, right? So start by 9 and by 12 and 1 p.m., people usually go for lunch. So they reduce the peak, right, of usage. And they said, look, this, like, instead of using out of hours window to deploy something or to, let's say, reduce the one server in the cluster to because of the high usage, why not use this specific time of the day that we have the reduction to remove some servers from the cluster, update those clusters and come back? Because with that, I can save some money for the organization to not paying the overtime for my IT personnel, for example. So they look at this and say, yeah, we can define a strategy here instead of paying for 1+ hour to 10 IT guys to just deploy the updates. We can get the lunchtime. We have a low consumption on servers, remove some servers from the cluster, update this and bring back, remove another 2 and bring back. So it's something that really, when you present this, you brainstorm with the business area, you get back some really good insight. So you can generate a new KPI for you.
That's really interesting. Yeah. And so I think kind of moving on to the next part of your career, you were a practitioner, you were coming up with this data architecture, data strategy, and now you are kind of like moving more towards the customer side and selling these solutions architectures to different customers and organizations for Microsoft. How do you approach offering a data solution to a customer who has data on-premise, in the cloud, like all over the place? Like what is your overall kind of strategy here?
Yeah, I think the conversation is always around what can they do more with the data they have today in a low cost, right? Mm-hmm. And how organizations like the same organization they are today are doing with the data where they are not doing the data right now. So basically, one of the main questions that we do to those customers is, are you using data or just collecting it? So that's the key question that we usually go and approach our customers to say, hey, you're just collecting data, let's use this data. And this is like as one of the most important, let's say, business lessons. That's the simplified way that the success is often the result of the making more good decisions than bad ones over time. So we try to explain to the customer that they need to act. Just not collecting data anymore. Let's act on top of this data. And let's understand first what you have in terms of the business case and how this can be translated in architecture or in a solution inside of the cloud, in this case, the Microsoft cloud.
Got it. I'm curious.
Yeah.
With a lot of different tools that people have to use within their work and their organizations, I feel like you might see this as well, but a lot of times the tool or the lack of tools is not the problem. It might be something with the organization or the culture. I'm curious, like, how much do you run into having to work with like the non-technical side of the business with the clients? Because I'm sure sometimes it's easy to say you're not doing anything with the data. You need to analyze it better, but maybe there's not enough analysts to analyze data, or maybe there's not a culture of, you know, people doing self-serve data analysis. Do you ever run into those scenarios or not too often?
Yeah, no, usually we run through the scenarios, and what we face is at some point we catch 2 moments. So usually, or we get someone and really a C-level that just joined the organization with more maturity and more mature mindset, for example, and say, look, we need to act on top of this data, right? That's usually what happens. When you think about digital transformations, it's something always top down. Someone that's just joined to the organization say, look, that's the new way to work. Let's work together on this. But one thing that we notice as well, there's a lot of new people coming to inside of organization that is not the culture of the organization, of a data-driven organization, or not even think about this data. There are developers entering inside the organization and saying to us, Microsoft, hey, help me here to transform my organization. And we go through this process because they what they are seeing is that developers as great influencers inside the organization. So they are not just coding. They have the power to change the organization from the bottom to the top by showing that, let me get this data and show you how we analyze this data and show what kind of KPIs you can generate and what kind of actions you generate. We saw this a lot across organizations that we work with, not just coming from the top of to the bottom, but the bottom to the top as well. This conversation is always good to have as well.
Mm-hmm. So are those conversations, so you're having meetings with C-level executives, mm-hmm. Are those conversations happening at the same time as the technical implementation specialists at Microsoft? They're also working with the developers at the mm-hmm. organization at the same time to actually trial the solution, or I'm curious how that gets sequenced, or is it all happening at the same time?
Yeah, there's one thing that we have this ecosystem at Microsoft where we have more our evangelists, we have more your development leads at Microsoft that always connect with developers across meetups, across events, and so on. It's there that we start this relationship. But of course, we can start the relationship from approaching as a salesperson, right? Just dropping a cold email, say, hey, I noticed that you were at this event before. I know that you are a developer, and I like to position a little bit what Microsoft can do for you, and so on. So the relationship always starts like this. Or we go to the C-level and say, hey, let's talk about digital transformation, and say, hey, can you tell me a little bit more the way that you analyze the data today? And both ways work really good. So, and what we saw is that when we go through developer conversation, it's more mature when we approach later on the C-level, because what happened is even if we approach the C-level, they always go down into the developers. Hey, do you heard about this solution from Microsoft before? What do you think about this? So go through this skilling process of both sides, and right in the middle, just connect the dots is something that works great. So the entire organization is aligned with the same strategy of the adoption. Because let's be honest, I work in the IT consultants before, and it's always hard when you are just working and someone just from this level say, hey, there's amazing new technology coming up, you need to learn about this, and right. You say, yeah, it's going to change everything here, and it's wildly complicated. So we always try to avoid this this by skilling both personnel, from C, from the developers.
Got it. That's great. That's great. And I think kind of stepping back a little bit, as because yeah. you had a really wide ranging career, starting with racking, installing servers, to doing data strategy, and now to kind of more on the solution selling side. What advice would you have for people who are looking to get into a career in data, whether it's being an analyst, being kind of like on the sales side or customer facing side like yourself? What are some general advice you would have for people that are trying to get into data, or people that are just graduating college?
One of the things that I didn't value before, but I'm value right now, is the power of you sell something, right? So I think it's huge. Doesn't matter if you're a developer or a salesperson, getting something that getting the skill of sales skill is something that's really great. So you should get to know more about this, because this really, really help you through your career. So if you're just graduate, this will help you a lot, for example, to find your opportunities across the industry, because you're going to need to sell yourself, sell your ideas, sell your knowledge, because you just get started, right? You don't have previous experience. So sell the idea that you have, I just completely lost me here.
That's all right.
just to sell your potential is something that you really need to learn. So because sometimes you lack of experience, but you need to sell your potential. You need to know and show this kind of thing. So I think it's really underrated, this thing about, okay, but I never do sales. You always do sales in different levels and different, let's say, approaches, we always do. So as a graduate person, you need to start to sell yourself a little bit more and sell your potential. You are the Mitka here. You need to sell a little bit more your ideas. Okay. So you need to learn about how, look, I'm getting this data, and you need to convince your team that the adoption of cloud strategy, the analysis of the data is something great. So again, you sell in a project, you sell an idea. So this skill for me, like, is crucial. If I know about the sales or something that we need to really have before, was way better in my life. So it's really underrated, and we need to touch with this a little bit more.
Got it. And in terms of learning some of these hard skills, how did you learn about cloud technologies, you know, using databases in the cloud, how data gets pushed from one side to the other? Like, did you, you said you mentioned you took some certifications or classes. Like, how did you go about learning a lot of these new technologies that you use today in your current day-to-day job?
Yeah. So one of the things that I found out as well in terms of the connect with the conversation about sell your potential is that certifications is a great shortcut for this as well. So if you are studying, exploring things like Python or SQL or different cloud solutions and cloud providers like Microsoft, Google, AWS, and so on, if you go and they have great communities and they have great materials today, I think if someone say like, look, I don't find it the right training and so on, it's like it's almost a lie, right? Because you have these great communities across AWS, Google, and Microsoft. You have YouTube channels full of information. The way that I do usually is I always focus on the certification. So I always look, okay, if I need to go through a data engineer certification in Microsoft or Google or AWS, I'm looking for the materials about this and study through the process of the certification. And what we saw with this and what I saw with this is like it's something that really give you the right approach for the solution. It's basically saying you are studying for the certification, but you're gonna know everything about the specific thing that you're studying right now, because the focus point is for this. It's not just the perspective of the tech thing, like how to deploy, what's the architecture, what the way you coding for this and so on, but how to sell, what's the value proposition of this? Because again, this is the circle. You study the tech, you study the hardware, and by the end, you need to sell the solution for someone. So if you're working organization, you need to tell your boss that Microsoft is better or Google is better, right? So it's just by leverage of the study of this that you know how to bring the value proposition of any of those solutions.
Got it. And I know that all the big public clouds, the products they're releasing constantly change, like every month, every quarter, every year. There's always new things coming out. This is, I guess, a chance for you to talk about what are some new and exciting things in the cloud, I guess, Azure, that's coming out that Microsoft is publishing that you can maybe talk about.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm feeling really great about this is that I like to highlight something first, that one thing that I love the most is that it's not always coming from Microsoft to outside of the public clouds to outside, but it's coming from outside of these companies like cloud providers to us. For example, one of the things most recently come up was data mesh, for example, this new architecture of the data mesh. And data mesh that coming from outside, and now we are just seeing like, hey, this is a great architecture. Why you not bring like this to inside of Microsoft, for example, and build our own data mesh? So that's one of the things that as well. So, but back to your question, I can highlight a couple of things. So I think mixed reality is one of the great things. HoloLens and everything related to this is, of course, there's the whole conversation about the metaverse, but what I'm seeing is more practical scenario related to the business. So we have a lot of organizations leverage off the mixed reality to bring like the mixed reality to the field, and people have improvement in productivity, for example, like just by giving the Oculus, then something that someone just visualizing and take actions near to real time. It's something great. 5G for the connectivity is something great as well. And one of the things that I really love right now is this partnership, for example, between Microsoft and NVIDIA with this whole set of AI, machine learning, deep learning that NVIDIA is producing. And we are leveraging of this through our Azure cloud. So this is accelerating a lot of this machine learning project, in specific for the custom vision, computer vision, and so on. And I really love about our recent products from NVIDIA, and specifically for the IoT ones or these computers with GPUs, is something way greater that will bring a lot of, let's say, a velocity in agile deployment of the computer vision and vision AI through our customers.
Oh, I see. So is it, it's not just, I'm thinking more of like, if I were to go into Azure, is it, I can select a certain machine type for my server from NVIDIA, or is it more about using kind of their framework or technology to do the computer vision? Is it like the actual hardware, or is it software?
Both. Okay. Yeah, we can use both. So currently you leverage in two ways. You can, let's say that you want to use the deep learning from NVIDIA. We can deploy and create a VM for you with everything that you need, with the NVIDIA GPU and the framework already installed. And you can start straight away to explore this. And you can use all of our past solution as well, like Azure Machine Learning, that you can say, look, I want to run my experiment of machine learning in a GPU. And then you can leverage off the GPU to run your experiment. So both opportunities are really good. And then not just leverage of the hardware itself, but of the framework as well.
Cool. Very cool. Really exciting to see all the things that Azure is coming out with, or Microsoft is coming out with for Azure.
Oh, yeah. I think I believe this, every single cloud, they have their own strengths. And more and more, we are seeing this, let's say, exchange of a service itself. So like Microsoft has this huge portfolio of the hybrid solutions where we can connect with different cloud providers and help you to manage these different cloud providers, or we can have NVIDIA supporting hardware and framework as well. So I think the beauty of the world right now, it's about this. I don't need to rely 100% in one cloud provider and one single technology and so on. We can leverage off all this, and you can pick what would be the best flavor for you.
Right. Yeah. Flexibility, I think, is one of the main kind of selling points, I suppose.
Yeah.
Victor, well, I know we're getting close to the end of time. Thank you so much for being here. I wanted to, is there anything else that you want to let the audience know about projects you've worked on, your career, anything else at all?
Oh, yeah. One of the great things is that the community always should rely in the community itself from these cloud providers, right? So we have bigger communities in Microsoft that go from supporting meetups, big events, hackathons, and so on. And I believe that all the other cloud providers, they have the same. So leverage of this, it's great. You can leverage for things like, even like in this world, like you just graduate and if you look, I don't have money for certifications, go to meetups. These meetups that provided by Microsoft and the other cloud providers, they always have the vouchers to help you as well. There's a lot of people that can support on this. So leverage of this technical community to help you as a lot. In terms of Microsoft, a part of the tech communities through meetups, hackathons, we're going to have next week, actually in September, we're going to start our global hackathon. There's a huge event from there. From the global hackathon that's happened, basically is I think it's the biggest hackathon, internal hackathon in the world. It's always keep in mind this hackathon, because after this hackathon, usually we come up with really great ideas in progress. For example, the Xbox came from this hackathon, or adaptive controller came from this hackathon, the Kinect coming from this hackathon as well. So always great ideas come up after the finals of the global hackathon at Microsoft. So again, keep in touch with technical community. It's a great source of knowledge. The people are always there to help you to progress in the career, progress with studies, and so on.
Perfect. That's great. Well, Victor, thank you so much for taking the time out today. And hopefully everyone gets a chance to check out some of the new things that Microsoft's working on. We'll definitely look forward to maybe having you back on the podcast sometime in the future.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Great. Thank you.